Rima
Set them free, bring a culture knowledge in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you,
Holy
Spirit.
Praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are now live on Facebook, on the Kingdom Reformers Facebook page group. We greet you, saints, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to day one of the masterclass on deliverance. How many of us are excited, willing, and available to learn what deliverance is according to the Bible? Yes, we have heard many things concerning deliverance. We have heard many mysteries concerning deliverance, but today we want to link what we know to the Word of God. What does the Word of God speak or say about deliverance? So today, the woman of God who's going to be ministering today is none other than Prophet Loretta Mkati. I met Prophet Loretta Mkati some years ago. I think it's about 18 years now. I think it was in 2005. I never knew anything about deliverance. I didn't know anything about intercession. All I knew was that I loved to pray. I spent time praying. And then when I went to House of Prayer, I met this woman who was on fire for God, you know, who loved the Lord and who had such authority, you know, because when you come close to her, there were some things that will leave you. And at that time, I didn't even understand what was going on because I was still new to this thing of deliverance and prayer. But I found out that there is something called deliverance when I met her. And I went through deliverance myself. Not only personal deliverance, but we've done, number of times corporate deliverance. So there is personal deliverance and there's corporate deliverance. So these 3 days, we're going to be learning about what is deliverance according to the Bible, how the steps that you can take to do deliverance on your own. And maybe if you know, you can see that this demon is, stubborn and it's not coming out, then you can seek for a minister who can help you to do that personal deliverance. And then there's also corporate deliverance, that is deliverance for organizations, deliverance for churches, deliverance for families. So there are different levels and areas where deliverance can be done. So in these next 3 days, you're gonna be receiving teaching according to the Word of God concerning deliverance. And therefore, I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to open up your hearts and to receive Mamuloret. We call her Mamuloret, because, many people just call her Mamuloret. So I want us to receive Prophet Loretta Mkati, all the way from Duncan Village, East London in South Africa today, who's going to be sharing with us and ministering to us the biblical foundations or the biblical interpretation of what deliverance is. Ladies and gentlemen, on that note, I'm just going to give over to Mam Loret. Mam Loret, you can have your way. You are welcome. Thank you for your availability and for your sacrifice for all these years. She's been consistent. Ever since I met her, she's been speaking deliverance. Not even one day have I heard her speaking anything else than deliverance and prayer. So today, I want us to receive, the impartation, the knowledge, the wisdom, from someone who has walked the walk and who has been, consistent in this walk. And I love the fact that in this platform, we've got different generations. We've got Gen Z, we've got Gen Y, we've got Gen X. So there are many, generations. There are those who are into Facebook. There are those that are into Zoom. So we are receiving knowledge today, as the young generation, those who are 40 and below, we're receiving, years worth of experience and working with God in the area of deliverance and in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to give over to Mom Lauren. Thank you very much, Mama. You can take your place.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sinzi, Daughter of the Most High. I wouldn't put a title on your name, except that you're a daughter of the Most High God, a servant of God, and a blessing to the body of Christ. Thank you so much for Zinzi, for being of that generation that sets up Facebook and also has grace for those who prefer Zoom. I'm able to do both, but I thank you that you gave the grace to do this Zoom rather, because it's easier in some ways, especially because I'm going to be teaching some things. Greetings, saints of God, those on Facebook, those on Zoom. You know, we're in such a serious season, and we're a generation that's always looking at ourselves. But I believe as believers, more than just looking at ourselves, we need to look into the heavenly places where actually, spiritually, you are seated in Christ Jesus. And turn around and look at Christ and look at how he is looking on the world himself. How is he looking at your life? How is he looking at the body of Christ? Because I think that is one of the most important things to know. And it's one of the things when you realize the state of this world as it is, more than 2,000 years since he died, paid the price for the sins of the world, past, present, and future, where he took such a cruel death to set us free. And yet he looks down in a world, most of it is still in darkness. There was light, a brighter time, I'm sure, than there is now. Darkness, it says, is covering the earth. If you read what the prophet Isaiah said of these days, darkness is covering the earth, gross darkness to people. And the sad thing is that many believers in Jesus Christ who have been given the call to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, they have lost their saltiness and their light is very dim. In fact, some of them, their light is shading in and out along with the world. So we are not having that deep contrast there should be between the sons of God and the sons of the kingdom of darkness. So as we are going to take this teaching tonight in deliverance, I want us to realize how important it is for us to understand that we need to be set free completely and totally. And that is what was in the heart of Jesus when he died for us. He never intended to have a lukewarm church. He never intended to have a compromising church. He never intended to have a divided church, one that looks on the color of one another's skins and judges us on one thing or another. But he was looking for a body who would be like him and would be united in him with his heart for the lost, his compassion for those who are brokenhearted, his own heart to see everyone who is in this world captured by sin come to repentance. Even says that's why God is delaying the coming of Christ, because he desires that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. But we know the day is going to come when he will come and there will be no more opportunity for repentance. Let me pray before I begin. Father, I want to thank you so much for this platform of teaching and of prayer. Thank you, Father, that you have given us many creative ways in this generation in which to reach one another with the truth of your word. Father, tonight, I want to ask you for your presence to permeate this platform, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Zoom, wherever it is, whenever it is, whether it's someone going back and listening after the live session, or whether it's someone who's on now. I want to ask you, because you are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who fills everything in every way, to make your presence felt. Also, Jesus, because you made a promise that where two or three come together in your name, you will be in the midst of them. We are gathered in your name, Lord Jesus. Would you manifest your presence in the rooms, in the homes, in the places where your people are meeting tonight around your word? In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we invite you to make the word of God come alive. Let the word of God be that sharp two-edged sword tonight. Let it pierce and penetrate soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Let it judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Let the word of God, the entrance of your word, bring light. Let it bring understanding. Let your word be like a hammer to break down stony places, ancient strongholds, those strongholds of the mind, even strongholds of religion, strongholds of tradition, strongholds of deception, the strongholds of Jezebel, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let it be like fire that consumes everything planted by the enemy, that removes every veil that the enemy has put before your people to keep them in captivity, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I'm going to read as we start Jesus' own words. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. I'm reading from John chapter 8, verse 31. I do hope you've got your Bibles and that you're taking notes, because I think it's very important that you actually look at the scriptures and read the scriptures yourself. It says in verse 31, these were the words of Jesus. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives." Surprised by this, they said, "But we are the descendants of Abraham, and we are already free. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How could you say that we will be released into more freedom?" "I speak eternal truth," Jesus said. "When you sin, you are not free." I want you to note that. When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does. For a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. So if the son, Jesus Christ, the one speaking, sets you free from sin, then become a true son yourself and be unquestionably free. There is liberty we are supposed to experience in our walk with God. We are supposed to be the most liberated people on planet Earth. There's nothing that should take us into captivity, not the troubles of this world, not the trials and tribulations, and certainly not sin itself. So we are going to look at biblical foundation for deliverance. I want to just say also that in the heart of God, you know, in 2 Timothy, God was speaking about vessels. He wanted that are useful for the master. It says, "In a great house, there are not only vessels." This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I want you to notice that verse 21 again. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master." There's something that the Lord is really seeking. He's seeking for vessels that are useful for him. You know, we've been making salvation our thing, as if salvation is about me and what I should get out of salvation. But actually, you were saved by him for him. You are not saved for your own sake, just so that you could be get to heaven one day. You are actually saved for him so that he could have vessels, he could have sons on the earth to reveal his glory. I want to give another scripture on that before I go into the issue of deliverance exactly, because this is a season of sanctification. Deliverance is actually, biblical deliverance is part of what's called the doctrine of sanctification, if you want to be theological about it. There's the doctrine of justification. That is where we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did in the cross, not by our works. We are justified by our faith in him and what he did, and our confession out of that of Jesus Christ being Lord. That justifies us. and brings us back into relationship with the living God. Where sin had once separated us, that justification makes us righteous in his sight, and we now have access again to the throne of God and to the Father. But it's only beginning. It's only the beginning of our salvation in its greater part. Remember, the Bible says we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. So salvation is an ongoing process, and I'm going to explain that a little bit better. But look at this verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. And you know, we don't often hear these messages coming from our pulpits these days. It's all about breakthrough and about blessings. And when it's deliverance, it's as if it's for the demon-possessed, those who are manifesting demons. Yes, there are some people who are demonically possessed, but more are under demonic oppression than being demon-possessed. I'm thinking of the demon-possessed man that was in the graveyards when Jesus set him free. We don't see that many like that. Yes, there are a number of people with demons, but there are many believers that you find that are as demonically oppressed as unbelievers themselves. Now listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you've got your Bible, please underline that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not saying you're not yet saved. You are saved, but let it work out. You were saved freely. It was a free gift because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You believed in Jesus. You received him. You are saved. Now, Paul is saying to the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So in the working out of our salvation, we are not like unbelievers. You know, the people who are trying to stop sinning, they are trying to overcome, you know, they keep getting defeated. No, the one who works out their salvation with fear and trembling knows that Christ now lives in me. But although he lives in me, there are still issues that I have to work through. There are still issues that have to be worked out of me. There are issues that I have to face and overcome. And there can be unclean spirits in me that I need, with the name of Jesus, to cast out of my life. It's not by my power. It's not by my might, but it's by his indwelling spirit leading me into all truth. It's by the working of the word of God that washes me, cleanses me, brings me faith to see who I am meant to be, to show me who I am and show me that something has to change. I am not who I'm meant to be. And so in seeing that and in doing that, I work out my salvation. And this is what we call sanctification, and deliverance is part of that process. So that is what I want you to see is deliverance, not only the issue of casting out demons out of demon-possessed people like that man of the Gadarenes. So let me give, I can also give you some notes. If anyone wants some notes, I'm sure you've got some contact with Zinzi, and I can let notes be given to you on some of the things I'm going to speak. Now, the reason why God became man himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the reason he came to the earth was to destroy the works of the devil and to deliver us from the power of darkness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." As he... Can you please mute? Thank you. Let me just go back to what I was saying there. Sorry, someone was interrupting. If you notice you come on and you're unmuted, please immediately mute yourself. So I'll read that scripture again, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, it doesn't say he must destroy the devil. There is a time when the devil will meet his final destruction, but Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil come through sin, because it says he who sins is of the devil. So the works of the devil in our lives that take us into bondage come through sin. Let me read the next scripture in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And then Colossians 1, verse 13 to 14, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the reason then that Jesus Christ came was actually to deliver us from the powers of darkness, from the works of the enemy. And as we see our lives today, we see that many people, they have received Jesus, but they are still being oppressed of the devil. They are still continually practicing sin. Even although we are supposed to have been delivered from the power of darkness, even although we are supposed to now be sons of God, some of the things that are happening in our life, it's as if the devil has still got free access to us. And he ought not to have, because the purpose of God in Christ was to save us. Now, that word save in the Bible, the meaning of the word save is sozo in Greek. And that means, that word sozo, you see, if we speak save today, most people just think forgiveness of sins. But the Greek word that was used, sozo, which goes beyond, it goes beyond the forgiveness of sins. It also has the idea of being physically healed of diseases and to be delivered from your enemy in the spiritual sense. That enemy is the devil and his demons. And this is from the Strong's Concordance, one of the concordances that people use to study the Bible. So it's not just something that somebody has made up. This is actually the meaning of that word. So salvation is much more than just being forgiven our sins. It also includes being physically healed of diseases and to be delivered from our enemy in the spiritual sense. And that enemy is the devil and his demons. So the purpose of God in Christ was to bring us and save us from our sins. It says in Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. You know, I don't know where you are at this point in your walk with God, but I know this, that Jesus promises freedom. We read it already at the beginning. It says in another version, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, in verse 36, that's John chapter 8, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So my question to you tonight is, in your salvation, are you enjoying this liberty that Jesus purchased for you on the cross? Are you confident that I am free, that the enemy has nothing on me? You know, when Jesus was going to the cross, the night before he was going to Gethsemane, it says this in John chapter 14, verse 29. I will no longer, Jesus himself speaking, I will no longer talk much with you, For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. You know, I want you to have a desire to be more like Jesus and to be able to say, yes, the devil, even today, in this 21st century, even in this month of September 2023, he's going around like a roaring lion. But when he comes to me, he can't find anything of his in me. And that's where deliverance ought to take us to. We ought to be in that place. I'm not saying we will never sin. We will never we will never stumble in any way. No, we are not saying that. But as to the devil having anything in us or anything on us that ought not to be there, we should be able to be completely confident of that. That the ruler of this world, Satan, he's going round like a roaring lion, but he has nothing in me. That's what the work of the cross was intended to do. What does the devil do? Because if we're looking now that we want to destroy the works of the devil in our life, and we're talking not just casting demons out, although we are also including that, what is the work of the devil that could be lingering in our life that gives him a right still to oppress us? Well, the work of the devil, you know, we talk about the fivefold ministry, but there's also another work of the devil, fivefold work of the devil. Number one, to steal. Number two, to kill. Number three, to destroy. Number four, to oppress. Number five, to enslave. This is the work of the devil. And also, the character of the devil himself, he's a deceiver and he is a liar. Now, what am I saying then? If we have any of these things in our lives, if we, for example, if we are still lying at this point in our Christian life, then as we are lying, we are then giving the enemy an opportunity to have a hold in our life. And you would be surprised how many born-again believers find it very easy to lie. Is it because you've still got a lying spirit? You have never renounced lies. You have never renounced. You know, you can say, oh, I don't know. You know, in Costa, because I'm with Costa people a lot of the time, because that's where I'm working. I'm a missionary deliberately sent by God to the Costa Nation. So I know their weaknesses and their strengths. And one of the weaknesses come from a tribal altar of the Costa Nation where they put the child through the smoke of the fire. It was an old thing, but it can still happen today in some traditional homes. And they say, you will deny what you know. If anybody denies what you know, what does that make you? It makes you a liar, a deceiver, because when someone says, do you know, you say, I don't know. And yes, but we are yes. You don't know, but you know. That's exactly what the scriptures say in Leviticus chapter 19 in the Costa Bible. It says, so if we have a tendency to lie continually, easily, we don't even have a conscience about it. No, just tell them I'm not in. No, just say I'm not available, but you are very available. I'm there. I'll be there in 2 minutes, but you're still at home. You've not even left your home. You know it's going to take you 15 minutes to get somewhere, but you're lying. And it seems that we take this character of the enemy so easily. Stealing. There are major issues on stealing, because the liar and the thief are the two names of the devil. The comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10 that I've just read. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44. So when God sees believers who are lying, believers who are stealing, do you think he sees a son of God or does he see a son of the devil? That's a question I'm leaving with you, because we really need to be very serious about this. Let me read from the book of Zechariah on that matter, because one of the things that there is also a stronghold that needs to be broken in our life, our curses. And we're not just cursed because someone curses us. We're not just cursed because some witch curses us. Most of the curses that are on our lives are not even inherited curses. They are curses because they are divine curses, because we have broken the commands of God and have therefore received divine retribution, which can be a curse until we repent and renounce it. Let me read this. I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 5. And it says this. This is, it says, is a vision of the flying scroll, Zechariah the prophet speaking. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" This is the Lord speaking to the prophet. So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer," that's a liar, "shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who lies, who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones." You'll remember the story in the Bible of Zacchaeus, the little man who was up in the tree when Jesus came and said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house." And Zacchaeus was short, so he climbed a tree when he heard Jesus was coming. He was a tax collector. He was a thief. And that was, I've yet to find a thief who doesn't lie, because you have to lie to cover what you've done in your stealing. So he comes down shocked that Jesus is wanting to go to his house. Jesus comes into Zacchaeus's house, and Zacchaeus says to Jesus, "Whatever I've stolen, I'm going to return it four times. I'm going to give it back, first of all," he said, "and then I'm going to return it four times." After he said that, and Jesus didn't say, "Zacchaeus, you're a thief." Zacchaeus' presence came into the home of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was now welcoming Jesus into his home, and I believe also into his heart. As he did that, light came in, conviction came in. He understood, "I am a thief." And he repented, and not just repented, he was already making restitution. You see, for true deliverance, we are going to need to do more than just repent. We are going to make some restitution. That means whatever we have taken that belongs to someone else, whatever we have done to someone else, we are going to make it right, not only with God in prayer, but with the people we have done it to. And so Zacchaeus makes this. Immediately Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your home." I want you to note his word. He didn't just say, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your heart." He said, "It's come to your home." And so why had it come to his home? Because Zacchaeus's home was under a curse. It was under a curse because of what he had been doing. You know, Zacchaeus was already himself a thief. He had already become wealthy by stealing from other people. As soon as he repented, said to Jesus, "I'm going to make restitution," salvation came. And that salvation, remember, salvation is not just forgiveness of sins, it's also deliverance from the power of the enemy. So now Zacchaeus was being set free. In his heart, his sins were being forgiven. In his home, deliverance was coming, because why? He was making restitution. That means he was making right the wrongs he had done to man as well as to God. Let me go back to a scripture in Isaiah chapter 14, one of the scriptures I was using when I was giving you the fivefold work of the devil. And it's the last one was to enslave. because this is what Satan wants to do. And it's what Jesus was speaking about in John chapter 8, that we can be a slave to sin. It says the one who sins is a slave to sin. That's actually in Isaiah chapter 8. It says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, and then verses 16 to 17, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? So Satan takes people into captivity. He makes them his prisoners. And if you remember when Jesus came, he began to prophesy about himself in the book of Luke chapter 4. And he was quoting from Isaiah 61 when Jesus was saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. So Jesus himself came to declare that he was bringing liberty to the captives and going to open those prison doors, because Satan had said he will not open the house of his prisoners. And there was no way for those doors to be opened, no way for those prisoners to come out of captivity until Jesus Christ had paid the price for our sins. But once he had paid the price for sin, which was the legal ground that Satan had to lock us all up in prison, the prison of enslavement to sin, whether it be just lying or whether it be just jealousy or anger or whether it be sexual lust, alcohol, drug abuse, whatever it may be, we could not be set free from the simple things, even pride, until Jesus Christ had paid the price. Now, what is the meaning of deliverance? It's to release a man from the bondage of Satan and bring him to a spiritual state where he can enjoy all the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. You know, there are so many people who they are supposed to be saved, but they are not enjoying the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. Remember, Jesus came to set us free. He came to heal our broken hearts. He came to forgive our sins so that we would not be ashamed any longer, so we would not live in condemnation. But there are so many believers who are still living in condemnation, who are still living with shame, who are still even living under a curse. They have not been able to come out of the captivity of the curse of poverty or under the manipulation of witchcraft or whatever it may be. But God desires to set us free. In Obadiah chapter, there only is chapter one in Obadiah, there's only one chapter in it. But in verse 17, it says this, but on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now, Mount Zion is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. There shall be deliverance. And indeed, that is what Jesus came to bring us, deliverance. But I want you to notice the progression of this here. There shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness, and then the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. There's too many people trying to possess their possessions. Number one, without being delivered. So you say, I'm going to the enemy's camp to take back what the enemy has stolen. You go in faith, in a powerful meeting where the presence of God is, you take it back. And then within a week, the enemy has snatched it back again because he still had a legal right to your life and therefore to your possessions. We need to know that deliverance comes first, and then holiness. That is what happens as you work out your salvation. You become holy as he is holy. Holiness is not an unattainable thing that we will get one day when we get to heaven. Otherwise, God could never have said, as he does in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16, be holy in all of your conduct, just as I am holy. For it is written, be holy as I am holy. God couldn't put that in his word. Otherwise, he would have said, well, you can attempt to be holy, and I'll perfect your holiness one day when you come to heaven. No, his word says, be holy as I am holy. And he also says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm not wanting to wait until I get to heaven to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord now. But it says, as you behold him, you become more like him. When we are in prayer, when we are in worship, we should be beholding Jesus. We should be seeing him. Yes, it's not yet that face-to-face encounter we will finally have, but we must see him. He can't be someone that's so distant that we have no real vision of him. So we'll not do that without holiness. So the purpose of our deliverance is to set people free to serve God without satanic interference or hindrance. You know, it says in Exodus chapter 4:23, this was Moses saying to Pharaoh, so I say to you, let my son go so that he may serve me. Not just let my son go, let my son go that he may serve me. And that's the same in New Testament biblical deliverance. Jesus came to set us free so that we can serve God without satanic interference or hindrance. You know, when we look at the Old Testament saints, they had a great zeal for God. And many of them, like David, was called a man after God's own heart. But how many of us know that there was a lot of satanic interference in David's life, to such an extent that David could actually murder. He could commit adultery, and yet he already had enough wives. It wasn't that he didn't have enough sexual satisfaction, but there was satanic interference. He couldn't yet be totally delivered because Jesus hadn't yet been to the cross. He was an Old Testament saint who loved the Lord with all his heart, who served God in his generation. But unfortunately, Satan could interfere with that. And I'm sure that also made people who knew David wonder, how can this man who loves God so much, how can he be doing these things? And unfortunately today, it's like we are still, many believers are thinking, well, you know, David, after all, he was a man after God's own heart, but he did this and he did that. But he was before the cross. We are believers after the cross of Christ. The power had not yet been released to deliver mankind from sin. The same with Samson. Samson was meant to deliver a nation. But look at the ways, I mean, he had been given incredible gifts by God. He was called by God to be a judge of his people and to set his people free from the oppression of the Philistines. He did it to a level, but look at the satanic interference. He was so bound by sexual lust that he was taken on the lap of a prostitute. He gave away the secrets of God. So we cannot compare ourselves with them as if we living in Christ are the same as them. We are not. They were not in Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And so for this issue of biblical deliverance, we need to see this matter of sin that we are dealing with. It cannot just be dealt with lightly. The actual deliverance, excuse me, the purpose of deliverance, a second purpose, is to signal the establishment of God's kingdom in a person's life or a given location. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 20, and this was Jesus' own words, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the kingdom of God comes upon us, the kingdom of darkness bows its knee. We need to see that demons need to be cast out and strongholds need to be cast down. Demonic strongholds need to be cast down so that the kingdom of God can come fully. That is that Christ can rule. Christ's rule must be established. And that happens when demons are cast out, when unclean spirits are cast out, when demonic strongholds are pulled down. The next one is, the next purpose is to advance the kingdom of God and his purposes on earth. It's not enough for the kingdom of God just to come. Excuse me a moment. Sorry about that. So, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, Jesus said, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, I want you to notice they didn't say whoever is not baptized will be condemned, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I want you to note this. It says here, in my name, they will cast out demons. He is not here speaking about apostles and prophets or even pastors. He says, whoever believes. These signs will accompany those who believe. So you don't need to be an apostle to cast out a demon. You don't need to be a prophet to cast out a demon. You need to be a believer. And that's why when Nagiri is speaking even tomorrow about personal deliverance, steps to personal deliverance, you can take yourself through personal deliverance because you yourself, even right now, if you recognize something that you've been thinking is just sin, and you realize this is more than a sin, I think I've got a demon of lies. You have got the right and the authority to be able to cast out that demon yourself. So in his name, we cast out demons. But I want to note another thing here. It says, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. You know, today, so many people are almost obsessed with being bewitched and with the power of witches over their life. And I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about believers. They magnify the power of witches. They magnify the power of witchcraft as if it is so, you know, so great. If someone comes and feeds them something in their dreams, now that can be an indication of an evil covenant which has to be broken. But I want to say this, if we are believers, we can deal with all of these things. No one, even if someone is giving you some poison to drink or something poisonous to eat or sending snakes after you, whatever, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have more power than them. Just a reminder on that matter, because I've noticed that many people are going for deliverance again and again and again, because they are so sure they are being bewitched and they are convinced that the enemy has such great power. And I just want to read a scripture from the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. for you as a believer. And it says in verse 19, this is Jesus himself. Let me speak from start from verse 18. Jesus himself speaking. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This was Jesus giving his disciples power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this is why, for me, deliverance is important. Once we are properly delivered and we have dealt with anything that has given the enemy an opening into our lives, and some of that can be foundations of witchcraft in our own life or in our own family. But once we have dealt with it, we must know that nothing can harm us. We cannot always be focusing on personal deliverance as if we are always, because we have to become the deliverers. And this is why biblical deliverance in this matter of sanctification is urgent in the heart of God, because out there in the world, people are seriously captured by the enemy. They're enslaved by the enemy. So we need to be completely liberated so that we are free, and we know we are free indeed. We know the enemy has nothing in us. You know, other people don't even want to cast a demon out of anyone else because they're afraid of the backlash of the enemy. Is it you that is setting other people free, or is it Jesus Christ that is setting them free? All you are being is a vessel fit for the master's use. So we must never be afraid to cast out demons, not from ourselves, not from anybody. We must not think that the enemy can come back and do anything unless we have open doors in our life. And that is why we are teaching these things on deliverance. So who needs deliverance? Well, every unbeliever, because they've been blinded by the God of this age, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 4. They are under the control of the prince of the power of the air. That is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. So all unbelievers, they are under the control of the prince of the power of the air. So they all need to be delivered and set free. They're all in captivity. They have all been blinded, according to what God's word says, by the God of this age. But also, believers need deliverance. And I'm going to give you a prophetic picture from John 11, verse 44. This was Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Now remember, Lazarus was dead, he'd been in the tomb, and Jesus came and he resurrected him. It says in John 11, 44, and he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, we were dead in our sin, but were made alive in Christ, just like Lazarus. When Lazarus came out, though, he was still having grave clothes. And we are just like that. We come out. We come out of the grave of sin, but we are still having some grave clothes wrapped around us. And these represent the remains of some demonic attachments that accompanied us from the world into God's kingdom, unbroken covenants with the kingdom of darkness, curses, a worldly mindset, unresolved issues of the past, addictions, etc. These things are the things that we need to be delivered from. You see, there are gates that were gates into a life for unclean spirits. And these gates, we opened them ourselves. The first ones, at least, the last one come through our bloodline. But our eyes, for example, Matthew 6, 22 to 23 says, the lamp is the eye of the body. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. But if your eye is good, then the whole body will be full of light. So here it says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, if your body is full, if you're looking on things that are bad, your eye is opening up for what? For your whole body to be full of darkness. In other words, let me give a simple example. You watch pornography. As you watch those pornographic images, the spirit of sexual lust is entering you, and even sexual perversion, because you are not just looking, you know, pornography is not just normal. It's this other things that are within some of these things that are involved in pornography. So a spirit of sexual lust can enter into it, sexual perversion. You watch or you like to play games, video games, and there's a lot of violence, you know, it's killing and things like that. Or you like to watch movies where there's always violence in the movies. Your eye is open and you are allowing into your eye the spirit of violence. You're looking at horror movies. You are watching things, horror movies. You are seeing terror, things to make you fearful. The spirit of fear enters into your life. There's many other things, but I think you get the idea. It says in Matthew 5, verse 28, I say to you, whoever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you look at a woman lustfully, God says you've already committed adultery in your heart. That is the eye, is the lamp of the body. The next one, your ears, what we listen to. You know, much of the music of today is backtracked by the kingdom of darkness. You've heard of many artists today who have got covenants with the Illuminati so that their music becomes popular. Then we listen to that music. And if you notice, if you were in the world before you came to Christ, as I was myself, even although I'm a baby boomer and not from Gen Z or Gen X or Gen Y, I'm not a millennial either. So I'm from that generation, but even in my generation, music has a great influence on all of us. And what you listen to has an effect on your soul and ultimately will enter into you as a person. I remember when I got saved at first, the first thing I had to do was for some time, in fact, for years, I turned off the television because the things I used to watch, every time I would watch these things, they'd stir up things within me. And the same thing happened with music, to the state that I just stopped listening to worldly music because I realized that it brought back emotions, it brought back events, thoughts. And I realized that there were things within me from that. Now, that can just be renewing your mind, but also because of backtracking and people using altars of the Illuminati, music today, watch the way people move when certain music is on. You'll see it almost becomes like mindless. I remember a Satanist one time telling us, we were on a program we had on one of our radio stations, and we'd been doing a lot of spiritual warfare against Satanism in our city. And this Satanist actually came to the radio station one night we were on, and he said, how do you know what we were doing? And I said, because God shows us things. He said, do you know that what you were talking is exactly true? Because there was a disco, a place where people, a club where young people used to go. And there was a lot of demonic activity going on there. And God had showed us that there's something demonic, there's an altar underneath the dance floor. And he said, that's exactly what happened. And underneath the dance floor, he said, then the lights, they fix the lights in such a way to hypnotize so that as the music goes, and then it's easy then for them to give drinks to people, to young people who are unsuspecting that are also drugged, to take them into drugs. So what we're listening to, what our mouth takes in, what do we take into our mouth? How do we get into bondage to alcohol? Well, we can that can come through our bloodline because of alcoholism in our bloodline. But most often it's taken in through people drinking alcohol and then they can't stop. The same with drugs. Our navel, and this is the one that comes through your bloodline. The things, and I'm sure Nikki will speak about this tomorrow when you're talking about steps to personal deliverance, because you're going to have to look at your foundations. So you can get also not only genetic sin patterns that can take you into bondage. You know, look at your parents and you can see some of the things you are struggling with, they are struggling with, or people in your family all struggle with the same things. The same with sicknesses. And you'll even find a doctor, when you go to a doctor, he'll ask you, is anybody else in your family got diabetes? Because it comes through the bloodline. The same with sin patterns. And then another key gate on deliverance is your sexual organs. Through sex, the two become one. So the sexual gate is a major gate for the entry point of demons. And let me just read that to you, because I think it's one of the major things that people are bound by is sexual sin in these days. And it's coming through this, it comes through, a lot of it comes through sex that is outside of marriage, obviously, because that's sexual immorality. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, all things are lawful for me. I'm reading from verse 12, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now, don't be amazed at this word harlot. Sexual immorality was for people who were having sex outside of marriage. And a lot of them did it with prostitutes. Today, because of the high level of sexual immorality, it's almost like we have become prostitutes in our own generation, especially us as women, but also men, because we can sleep with multiple partners. So when we sleep with someone, it says, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, biblical deliverance, I know we're going slightly over, just give me a few minutes just to finish what I want to say tonight. The fact is that Jesus has taken upon himself everything that is needed for us to be delivered from sin. Our deliverance is only guaranteed on account of Christ's finished work on the cross. It's not guaranteed on the power of the deliverance minister, not on the word of the deliverance minister. Even you yourself, if you are casting out a demon from yourself, it's not your power. Yes, you have authority to do it, but you are doing it. Remember, Jesus said, in my name. The name of Jesus carries the work that Jesus did on the cross. And that is what it says in in Isaiah chapter 53. It says this, that surely he has borne our sorrow, our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It also says there that he was rejected. He was despised. He was put to shame. You can read for yourself Isaiah 53 from verse 1 down to 6. So on the cross, Jesus took our sin. That's our transgressions, where we broke the commands of God. He took our transgressions. He took our iniquity, even the iniquity that was in our bloodline. He was bruised. Bruising is in the blood. Bruising isn't an outward break of the skin. It's in the blood. He was bruised for those iniquities that came to us through our bloodline. And then he took, by his own wounding, he took for us stripes by which we are healed. So there's nothing that Jesus did not do for us. It says in Colossians chapter 1, 13, he delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It says again in chapter 2 that he wiped out all that was written against us, nailing it to the cross, disarming principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. So there's no power of darkness that needs to have power over you. Through Jesus Christ, you are able to be completely and totally delivered and set free. That is the heart of God. And it's our heart also for you, I believe, as ministers of the gospel in these days, that we see every believer in Jesus Christ. This is not for a few servants of God. This is for every single believer, because every believer ought to become a servant of God. You are saved to carry the message of salvation. You are healed to carry the message of healing. You are delivered to carry the message of deliverance. And not just to tell about it, but to bring the manifestation of it to those who are in captivity. And so our time is over on this class tonight, I want just to pray for you that the word of God that's been spoken will find a place where it can take root in your heart, where it can bring forth hundredfold fruit, where you yourself can fully understand the purpose of deliverance and the need of people for deliverance. And also, how does the enemy get entry? How do unclean spirits, how do demonic spirits get entrance into our life? I've shared that to a level, and I'm sure that Nagiwe will share more of that with you even tomorrow in lesson 2 of this masterclass on deliverance. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for this platform. Thank you, Father, that you set it up, this platform, that you put it into the heart of your daughter, so that there might be, Lord God, a place outside of just normal church where people can hear the truth that will truly set them free. You have a deep desire to see people liberated, having paid the full price for it. And so I pray, Father, that out of what has entered into the hearts of your people tonight, deliverers will be raised up, so that no one in this generation will be in captivity yet in Christ Jesus. In his name and for his glory we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. So tomorrow night, I believe at the same time, on the same place, there will be a class 2 of this deliverance class, this master class in deliverance. So God bless you.
God bless you too, Ma. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye. Thank you, Mama.
Amen, Mamungev. Where are you?
think Mama Ngeva said, when I finish, we close the meeting. So she said,
hallelujah.
Oh, you're there.
Hallelujah. Yes, I'm here, but oh. Hallelujah.
Oh, you're there.
Hallelujah. Yes, I'm here, but we are having load shedding at this time. Yes, I'm on load shedding. We're going to close today, and then tomorrow we are coming back again at 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock. It's gonna be day two tomorrow, and day two is gonna be about the steps to personal deliverance. Prophet Nikki Apengteng is going to be talking tomorrow about the steps on how to go about ministering deliverance to yourself. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. We will see you again tomorrow. Thank you. Shalom.
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 Shalom.